Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day you're joining us. Welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast, where we drop a brand new episode every first and third Friday of the month. And with me, I have my second favorite woman in the entire world, right behind my wife. Sorry, Kayla, if you listen to this. My wonderful, beautiful mother. How are you, mamas?
Hey, sweetie. I'm doing great.
I've been wanting to get you on here for a while, and so we were traveling, so I was like, I know we can do it like online, but it's not the same.
Right. You know?
I need to get her on here. So how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good. Anytime you're home, I'm doing fantabulous.
And you took this week off, too.
Yes. It was funny. Actually, I had this week planned off, and then we found out from you and Juby that y'all were coming to stay forever. We were like, good. That was cute, her little text. Y'all are going to be sick of us because you guys are here almost 2.5 weeks. So yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, the last time we were here this long was August of 2016.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
When Phil and Abby got married.
Oh, yeah. You guys stayed that long?
Mm-hmm. We took 2 weeks off. Well, luckily they told us ahead of time.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, babe, since we know we're going to be in their wedding at this time, we've been like 10 months out.
Wow.
We just saved our days of leave and we took 2 weeks off. Obviously, we've been back since, but we've never spent 2 weeks.
I know.
Usually it's 5 days or a week or something.
Exactly.
So this has been awesome.
This is awesome.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because you and I have had a lot of conversations just obviously about life in general, just where you're at and everything. And obviously, as you know, you listen. By the way, you are one of the biggest fans of the show.
Of course. I can't wait. It's like, wait, what day is it? Is it the first or third? Oh.
Well, it's easy because it's like you're the mom. Of course, you're like, no, like y'all don't understand. My mom like legit listens and like gives feedback. And is like, man, I like when you did this. Hey, consider doing that. So I just want to thank you for being one of the you're probably our biggest fan.
Of course. Well, and it's not just because I'm your mom, but I mean the things that you say and share. It's like, wow, I can't believe that I have the privilege of being your mom. So it's not just a matter because I'm your mom, but you share such wonderful insight and words of wisdom. I mean, to tell you, you're one of my mentors. So that's the other reason. And I share it with friends. It's like, hey guys, you got to check this out. It's very practical. It's very, very practical, the things that you share. And I know it's a Christian podcast, which is awesome because that's where it started. That being said, what you share can go to any audience. Right. So that's why, to be honest, that's why I listen. And of course, because I'm your mom.
For the record, I did not ask us any of that. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to dive into basically just today's topic. But before we do, I kind of want to give the floor to you and just tell us a little bit. We'll go into your story.
Okay.
But before we do that, just tell us about what you do. I know you kind of do a couple of things.
Yes.
So just have at it. Talk about wherever it is you want to go. And I'll kind of pick away from it.
Well, in addition to being you and Kayla's mom and dad's wife, I spend most of my time at the dental office. As you know, I'm a general dentist. For those of you who don't know, have my own practice, been practicing. Well, how old are you?
34.
So I've been practicing 32 years.
Yep.
As you know, for those of you that don't know, my wonderful son was born 5 weeks before graduation.
Like a boss.
Yes. So I've been practicing a long time. And as you know, started the practice back in 1998. Prior to that, practice with your dad, Pop. So it's an interesting story. Everyone says, oh, your dad was a dentist, so this must have been destiny. I was like, no, you have no idea.
So you know what? We're just going to go there because I have this on here. We're just going to go there.
Yes.
You initially mentioned you actually didn't have a desire to be a dentist.
No.
Talk a little bit about that and maybe kind of walk our audience through because people maybe don't know our family background, specifically your side of it.
Okay.
So kind of give the setup behind that and what led. Don't worry, folks. Stick with us. I promise we're going somewhere with this. But just kind of give the background of that story.
Sure. So, you know, Pop-Up was a general dentist, Nana, a pediatrician. And I always wanted to be in medicine like Nana. And I wasn't sure if it was pediatrics or not. Going back to Nana's side of the family, she comes from a huge background of educators. Her mother and father were educators. And then when it came to healthcare, I'm trying to remember we have a lot of people on our side of the family that are in healthcare, mainly medicine. Mm-hmm. Nana's from Nashville, so everybody went to Meharry.
Yeah.
And I just loved that. Right. So it's funny because I know I'm jumping around, but when people think of the old Cosby Show and the Claire Huxtables and all of that, they're like, that's not real. And I'm like, that's my family. Right. Because we came from professional educators, whether it was healthcare or just education, period. So we happen to have a lot of physicians in this side of the family. Mm-hmm. Long story short, so I always wanted to go into medicine. I was probably a solid B student in high school because I enjoyed doing a lot of other things.
That actually very surprises me of you.
Really?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You were, well, one, you were so hard of us as your kids, but well, and then yeah, just who you are now. But anyways, go ahead. So you're a B student.
I was a solid B student. I got involved in a lot of different things in high school, played basketball, did plays, things like that. And of course, you follow your parents' direction when they suggest where to go to school. Mm-hmm. So Pop-Pop thought UC Davis would be the perfect place for me. But going to Mercy High School, San Francisco, I was used to a small environment where I could literally talk with my instructors.
And it's an all-girls school.
And it's all-girls school. Woohoo! All-girls school! Mercy is no longer San Francisco in existence. And that's another long story, but it's shaped me and so many of my friends to be the women that we are today. Mm-hmm. So Pop-Up suggested I go to UC Davis, and I did. Mm-hmm. And UC Davis was a quarter system. You have seriously like 200 to 300 people in some of your major classes. And I just didn't do well. Mm-hmm. I did not do well at all. I kind of joke and say probation was my middle name. You know, I started off struggling. And for 2.5 years, I struggled. And I started to doubt myself. And at that time, I was talking to Pop-Up about it, and Pop-Pop went to Howard University, as you know. Mm-hmm. Nana went to Fisk. And he finally realized, he said, you know, maybe you should transfer to Howard. So I transferred. I transferred in the middle of my junior year. And when I transferred, I lost a lot of credits going from my quarter system to semester. Mm. And of course, my bad grades didn't transfer, which I guess was a good thing. But I felt so defeated. I didn't, to be honest, I felt like I wasn't smart enough to go to medical school anymore. And one day Pop-Up said, well, what about dental school? And I said, you've got to be kidding me. Why would I ever want to do that? You tortured me in the dental chair.
Yeah, right.
Trust me, I spent a lot of time in the dental chair, ate a lot of junk growing up.
Which is what makes you good at your job now.
It does. I think it gives me the empathy because I know what it's like from being on the other side.
Right.
And I get it. Most people, even though they have insurance, they still don't like to come see us. I don't take it personally. But it did give me that empathy. So I started thinking about it. I was like, well, gosh, you've been in school 2.5 years. What else are you going to do, right? And I talked myself into going, you know, dental school is probably going to be easier than medical school. You can do this. And that's what I did. I started finishing up my prereqs. You know, I met your dad by then, and he was encouraging me to go ahead and finish. And at that time, you could apply to medical or dental school without a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And I had 4 years of college, and dad was the one that said, why don't you just apply? Because it was going to take me probably another 2 years to get my bachelor's degree. So that's what I did. I applied and got accepted to Mary. Wow. That's where I ended up going.
Man. So that told us the dental story.
Yes.
In 2014,
yes.
You had another shift.
I did.
Talk a little bit about that, because I feel like there's a lot of people that are probably in a season right now where they've probably been doing something for an extended period of time.
Yes.
And they feel like there's no way that they can get out of it.
Yes.
So talk about that shift and what, you know, brought us here basically to today.
Sure. So in 2014, I finally decided to pursue one of my dreams, which is to get my master's in public health, something I wanted to do when Kayla was a baby. So that was back in the 90s. But, you know, raising a family, running a practice, I just didn't find the time.
I literally was today old when I found that out just now.
Say that again?
I was today old when I just found, I had no idea that was a dream like the whole time for you to do.
Yes.
That. Wow. That's
yes.
Cool.
I had always wanted to do it. Why? I'm not sure, but it's just something I wanted to do. I also teach one day at UOP Dental School, Pacific Dagoni, which I absolutely love. I'm now 2 days, but at that time I was teaching one day. And I just loved academia. I was like, you know, I think I want to just go to the next level. So I found a program online. I said, it's got to be online, which I was a little hesitant about because I do better learning in an environment where we can talk like you and I are doing. Mm-hmm. But I also knew I didn't have the time to go sit in a classroom at night from 6 to 10 o'clock, two or three nights a week. I knew that wasn't going to work. So long story short, to find this program, which I found out later was one of the best, what's called competency-based programs at Capella University, I Googled, let me see, MPH programs, no GRE, because I was done taking any exams. And I think I Googled cheap MPH programs, no GRE. And my other goal was finding a program where it was more than 6 weeks. Mm. So there's some programs out there, like University of Phoenix is really known for 6 week programs. I knew I could, that was not going to work for me. So I found Capella. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about Capella, you can enroll anytime you want. It was a quarter as well, but it was 10 weeks. Mm. So I decided to take one course at a time. started in January of 2014, and then a special event happened in November of 2014, so I had to put that on pause. Yeah. Any idea what that might be?
Oh, just kidding. Jimmy and I got married. I was like, yes. What took place? I'm trying to think of it from your perspective.
So, you know, it took me a while. It was 48 credits. It took me 4 years to get through it. Probably mm-hmm. could have taken 2.5 or 3. I dropped a few courses here and there. I still had my trepidation about statistics.
Ah! Right, right.
So it took me a while, but I finished that in August of 2018. And what I focused on, everyone said, well, what are you going to do? So you have to pick a subject. And mm-hmm. my focus was diabetes and oral health. Mm-hmm. And that's near and dear to me because it runs in our family. Mm-hmm. As you know, that was one of the complications Pop-Pop had. And I've always shared with you guys, go get your blood sugar checked. And it's very popular, unfortunately, in the Black community and communities of color. Mm-hmm. So some kind of way, that's just what God put on my heart. I really had no idea what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. But I knew it's something I wanted to pursue. And so that started in 2014. When I finished that in 2018 at the dental school, other doors opened for me to teach in a different perspective or teach in a different context. I was in the clinics before, and then I went to the lecture. Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity to prepare lectures to speak to our dental students about diabetes and oral health and things that they can do to find out for themselves, to share with their patients, et cetera. But I've also had that desire and had the opportunity to speak to various communities. Mm. I've spoken to different women's groups. I've spoken to the California Dental Association. So I've had an opportunity to just share that message. And the bottom line is to let people know that they're connected, diabetes and oral health. If you're diabetic, you're 3 times more prone for gum disease. Mm-hmm. If you have gum disease, it throws off your blood sugar. But the good news is it's preventable. Mm-hmm. So getting that message out. And so here I am. Well, I'll just tell everybody. I don't mind. I'm 59 years old. So in 2014, which was 7 years ago, what was I, 52?
Yeah.
You know, starting school again. And that was interesting because there'd be times like your dad would say, okay, we got invited to go to so-and-so's place. And I have to look and go, okay, where are we going? How many hours is that? I can drive up, you know, because mm-hmm. you have to figure out how much time am I going to spend studying? Right. Or I might say, I can go, but I'm going to need some time to have some time in the room so I can read and do whatever it is I need to do.
Yeah.
So your dad was very supportive, always has been. And here we are, you know, 4 years later, and I've been using my MPH, my Master's in Public Health, to be able to further that discussion about how that impacts everybody.
So there's so much here that I want to unpack, and I'm trying to like figure out like, okay, where are we? Because, well, here's what I love about your story. For those of you guys who are listening, here's like, let's just do a quick recap. You basically don't have an undergrad.
I don't.
Went on to get your DDS. Mm-hmm. And then you go, you know what? I'm going to go back and get my master's, which you've been wanting since you say Kayla was born. For those who don't know, Kayla literally just turned 31.
Yes.
But again, we already wind the clock 7 years ago. So needs to say, you've been having this dream and this desire burning in you for about 25 plus years.
Exactly.
And what I love about your story, Mom, is like you said, you're 59, about to be 60. Mm-hmm. At the time, if we rewind it, you know, from 7 years ago, you were 51, 52. Mm-hmm. You did not allow your age or the number of years that passed to keep you from pursuing it.
Right.
What was it in you that gave you the courage to just do that?
Well, you know, you got to listen to that still small voice, right? And I know, you know, God gives us the desires of our heart, mm-hmm. and it just came around full circle. It just came around. I can't really pinpoint it, but I know that's probably something that he knew I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest, I did question. It's like, oh, can I do this, right? I don't have that 25-year-old brain like I did when I went to dental school.
Well, so lean into that. What were some of the barriers that you found yourself like going against at the time?
So it took me a minute, especially the first, so it's 10 weeks. It's completely asynchronous, which means online, right? So basically you have your own pace. You did have to read certain things. You had to read certain things and then talk about it. They call it discussion. So you had to post a discussion, say, on Wednesday night, then you had to respond to it by Sunday, and it started all over again every Monday. Well, I found myself couldn't get through the reading. It was so much reading, and then I started to get discouraged. And I'm not a fast reader. It takes me a while to interpret things. So I was getting frustrated, and then I started to think, well, what did you do in dental school? And I realized sometimes you have to look at the information they're asking and then go read that, right? Mm-hmm. You can't read everything. You just can't. Mm-hmm. So once I figured that out, That helped. Mm-hmm. So that was part of, then you start having this talk with yourself. Well, that's because you're 50 something years old and you know, you don't have the brain capacity, but that's not true. You just have to figure out what works.
What I loved about what one of the examples you said was that you pretty much use something that worked in the past,
yes,
to kind of help you get through the present.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage our listeners, as you're listening to this, you might be in a season right now where you're feeling this shift,
yeah,
you know, or to make a pivot. That's kind of been a word that's been coming, yes, up quite a bit this year.
Especially with the pandemic.
Right. And I just love that you took a moment to kind of take a step back and basically say, okay, these are some things that have worked for me in the past.
Right.
That I can use right now, mm-hmm, to move forward in the present.
Yes.
What would you encourage someone, or how would you encourage someone right now to overcome their own barriers if they feel stuck?
Sure. Well, a few things. You know, when you say look back in the past, I even look back at, you know, I kind of joked and said my middle name was probation, right? But that set me up for realizing that when I felt the lowest ever in my educational career, when I told you I didn't think I was smart enough to go to medical school, et cetera, by the time I got to dental school, I realized I didn't have a fear of failing because I'd been there.
Wow.
Right? Been there. Right. And I knew because I'd been there, but was able to go in a positive direction, that no matter what happened, I could anchor back to that. So I would say to every and anybody that's going through whatever it is you're going through, think back to what you overcame.
Mm.
Right. And how you got there. For me, as you know, being a family of faith, being green Christian believers, and starting to grow even more in my faith with God at the helm, knowing that He will direct me. Right. And every single time, that's never failed. So instead of looking back on the so-called failures, which I don't like using, or setbacks, mm-hmm, let that be your source of strength, that even though I had the setback, I can overcome, I can get through. And you just draw on that. And sharing that desire with other people that are going to encourage you. You definitely don't want to share that with people who are going to be like, you know, you're too old. Why don't you just focus on this? Blah, 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 blah. Stay with this stable job, mm-hmm, right? Because if you're feeling that uneasiness, I get it. We obviously need to be stable in some things. But if you're feeling that uneasiness, that's God stirring your spirit, because we need to continue to grow. Even if you're at the top of your field in your career, whether that's a career being out in the workforce or at home working for your family, taking care of your family, there's ways to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you're a stay-at-home parent, there's something that you've always desired to do in addition to raising your family.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be either or. Mm. As you have shared, it can be both and.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think we need to lean into more of the both ands, right? And it's important, again, that you're around people that encourage those desires. So that would be my advice to people, is hopefully that's right in your inner circle. If you're married, your spouse, if you have kids, if you have your best friends, et cetera, that are going to encourage you. And if not, or pastor, whoever that might be, really trying to find someone that's like-minded to help guide you there.
Mm.
You're never too old. We're never too old. And we want to stimulate our brains and do things that we like and enjoy. So it's never too late.
Yeah. Man, thank you for that. That's really good. I love the challenge too of giving yourself permission to go back to the past,
mm-hmm,
and find that moment you overcame and use that as an anchor point.
Absolutely.
That's so good. Something you had said earlier, and this ties back to your story, when we were just talking over the weekend, you said, if you want to be the change you want to see, you yourself must be willing to lead out of that.
Yes.
Unpack more of that, because what I love about your story is you made that shift because it connected something personal for, mm-hmm, you. So yeah, if you want to be the change you want to see, you yourself must be willing to lead out of that. Unpack more of that.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, again, I think we all get stirred in our spirit that wherever we are at this moment, sometimes it becomes a little mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, society says, oh, you need to do more and more and more and get the best you can and climb this mountain and, you know, be the top of your field. Okay, and then what? What do you do? Right? Some of us feel like we just haven't achieved enough. Or some of us feel like we're at that pinnacle and there's still more to come. And there should be. Because even when you have achieved the highest, whatever that is, there's still room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say lead out of that, it's a matter of just knowing that tug, again, paying attention to that still small voice. And what's interesting is you start thinking about some things, and next thing you know, you hear about it. Someone else said something in that same field,
mm-hmm,
or you're watching a TV show, or you're listening to a radio or podcast,
mm-hmm,
where someone says something, you're like, ugh, okay, Lord, you know, and for me, that is that still small voice is listening to the voice of God that's directing me. Mm-hmm. So whatever that is for our listeners, for people that are people of faith, and if you're not a person of faith, that's okay. There's still that still small voice. Listen to it. And when you're feeling stirred, lean into that. There's a difference between feeling stirred and curious and feeling anxious. The anxious feelings, we need to let that go. Because the anxious feelings will tell you that you can't, you're not capable. This, you know, all the barriers, right? It's kind of like the little devil and angel voice. And that's the anxious feelings is the devil trying to tell you those things, that little voice that's negative. And you want to tune that out. You want to lean into the positive reinforcement, the things that are reinforcing what you just thought about. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of times we hear that through friends, through family, through songs, through radio. There's so many avenues where it confirms that. So that's what I would say is just really lean into that. And it's hard to do that if you don't take the time to stop. Some of us get so busy, and your dad says this all the time, you are so busy. And I try not to be. I'm trying to say no to a lot of things. By the way, people, N-O is a wonderful word. Amen. Wonderful word. Our pastor was sharing that with us, gosh, a few years ago when we're trying to figure out, you know, the busyness in life. And I think it was five words. That's not going to work. And it's okay to let people know. We've got to learn to say no to some things, because if you don't, you can't create space to hear that still small voice. If you feel like you're on that habit trail all the time, that little hamster, you have total control of that. And learning to say, that's not going to work. I can't do that. I can't. I have another commitment. And guess what? When you say that to people, most of the time they just let it go. They don't say, oh, really? You should da 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 da. They don't do that. People honor, respect that. So I can share with you, as I've become more seasoned in life, is realizing that it's okay to not have something to do every minute of the day, on the weekends, in the evenings, running around. You know, when you guys were growing up, as you know, we were all over the place. Your dad and I, you know, we kind of just split. Okay, who's on first?
Right.
And that was important to us to, you know, give you all that opportunity to be involved in so many things. But you realize, especially after you guys went off to college, that, okay, we can just kind of relax in the moment. But that needs to be intentional. Because you're going to miss out on that still small voice if you don't take the time to just be still and hear what's coming.
So with that, and we spoke a little bit to it, we talked about, you know, when people feel stuck, and you gave them that encouragement about, you know, go back to a moment in your past where you've overcome it and use that as an anchor point.
Yes.
What are some maybe practical questions that someone can ask themselves if they feel stuck, or going back to, you said, paying attention to that still small voice, what are some maybe reflective questions or personal questions someone could ask themselves to kind of help them?
Yeah. I would say, you know, what are those dreams that you still have that you remember from when you were a little child, right? What are some things that you are becoming passionate about? Or what are some things that get under your skin, right?
What is unpack it? The importance of that one.
Well, yes. What gets under your skin?
Yeah. Why is that important?
So passionate, we always think in terms of positive things, and that usually is. But maybe there's something, and I don't know, it's kind of the big buzzword, social justice. Whatever it is that bothers you, that you feel like you could make a different impact. So you can use it both ways. It can be that one thing that's just in your craw that bothers you that's not happening. How do I make an impact? And sometimes I think we overthink that. I think we think you got to have the degree in XYZ. And something you've said is, you know, we're all our own SMEs, subject matter experts. We all are, because we all have our unique gifts. So lean into that. What is it that you're just, gosh, I wish I had time to ... fill in the blank. I remember 10 years ago, I always wanted to ... fill in the blank. And I think that's where I would start, is what is it that you wish you could have done or should have done? It's never too late. I also want to encourage our listeners to realize that you are where you are, and that's where you're supposed to be. And what I mean by that is sometimes we go back, and your dad and I have this, shoulda, coulda, woulda, and I do this differently. But I can promise you that each and every one of us are where we're supposed to be according to God's plan, and that we're supposed to take that where we are and use our past experiences to be able to move forward. And share that with other people. We all make mistakes. It's a journey. That doesn't mean that we went so far left that we can't come back on the path that God has for us.
Yeah.
So I would encourage it from that perspective. Either what are you passionate about that you wish you had done that you never did? It's never too late. Or what is it that really gets into your skin that you want to make a change to? And you don't have to be, have all these degrees and have all this experience. It's just the heart. Mm. If you have the heart that you want to do something, you just kind of figure out what that is.
Yeah. And now another question that I've learned to ask is, what are you currently most curious about?
Oh.
And what I like about that is, because I ask the passion question too,
mm-hmm.
every now and then, not all the time, it's in the few times, but sometimes the individual, or it might be you right now, you just feel overwhelmed and you feel like you don't have anything you're passionate about right now. What I like about the curious question is, but there's probably something you are curious about.
Yes.
Because you don't have to be passionate about something that you're curious about.
That's true.
But oftentimes the curiosity is what leads to the passion.
That's a good point.
So, and to add to that, if there's five things you're curious about, mm-hmm. start exploring all five of those things.
Right.
Because you might not be curious about any of them by the time you're done, but at least now you know.
Now you know.
And now we're doing process of elimination.
Exactly. So, don't just say, oh, I guess I shouldn't do that. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's one, just finding out about that thing. Mm. Okay. What does that look like now? What is that thing? And asking people, find people who are in that same field, whatever that thing is, ask them questions. And then if you really have time, maybe spend some time. If you have an hour or two on the weekends that you get involved with an organization that's doing some kind of volunteer work with the thing, then you get a better idea of what that looks like. And if it intrigues you and you can see, wow, this is great, that might be where you go. And at the same time, like you just said, if it's not, you can find that out very quickly. That's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But you have to step out there.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that extra suggested step of applying that, where you're giving people permission to go, hey, if you're curious about it, you may not know the thing, but you probably know someone who knows the thing.
That's right.
Yeah. That's good.
And if you don't even know someone who knows that, start talking with your friends, because your friends will know someone who knows someone.
Mm.
I think so many times we're afraid to say what we're thinking or worried about what other people think. And thank goodness I learned at a young age, for the most part, I really don't care what other people think. What I mean by that is, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be rude, etc.
No, but that's a gift though.
Yeah, you have to let, when people start coming down that road and trying to dissuade you and have you turn left or right or tell you what you can't do, and this is credit to your Nana. Nana always said we can do anything we want. Always. You know, so I'm very blessed that we had that growing up. Be careful letting people pour into you that are just negative. And you know, they have their own issues, right? Be really, really careful. And sometimes that means you have to pull yourself away from those people. And that can be your closest friends and sometimes your family. And you don't do it in a way where, like, I'm not going to talk to you.
Right.
But you know, you're discerning about it and you decide you're just going to go in a different direction. So you've got to understand that there's that hesitation and a little bit of fear and can I do this? But as you just mentioned, just step out. You're not going to lose anything. You will learn something.
Mm.
And that's the other thing I've learned in life over these years is every single experience is not to be thrown away. It can be utilized. You may not see it in the moment, especially in the heat of the moment when you're going through whatever it is, but it's going to come back later. We go, oh, okay, that's what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, ask somebody who has a friend, next thing you know what, let me have you talk to XYZ.
Yeah.
They may be able to give you some insight. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if we're too afraid to just not share some of the things that we tried that didn't go in the way we thought it was going to go, then we stifle ourselves and we stifle other people that we might be able to help with that situation.
Man, that's good, Mom. Another statement you had made before is, a crisis is an opportunity to pivot and make changes.
Ooh, did I say that?
You did. Because I wrote it down. I was like, ooh, I got to remember that. But just kind of, I guess, talk about, if dare I say, the gifts of what a crisis can do then.
Yes.
You know, a crisis is an opportunity to pivot and make changes.
Yes.
Yeah, just kind of unpack that a little more for us.
Well, you know, here we are, July of 2022. So we've been in this pandemic a little over 2 years. And prior to the pandemic, as you know, this country's been so polarized on whatever aisle you stand on in terms of politics, in terms of religion, et cetera. And so when the pandemic first happened, the first probably 6 weeks, we were all kumbaya, we're going to get through this together, right? But you have an opportunity to go, I get it, it's a crisis because we're separated from our families, you know, the whole thing about who do I go around, our little bubbles, et cetera. You can choose to make a different choice, right? It's all about pivoting. And so thank goodness God has wired me as a half glass, half full kind of person. So I get it. Even in the worst of circumstances, people have passed away. People have died. You've lost things physically, spiritually, et cetera. You can choose to take that and look at it with a different lens. And it really is a matter of a choice, because once you decide that in your mind, then miraculously things just start to pop up. And so it's not the end of the world. I know it may seem like it, and I'm not trying to be trivial for people who have lost people through the pandemic. Just life in general. Sometimes you feel like, oh my gosh, this happened and that happened, et cetera. I mean, you know, in our own family, we had a bunch of loss. Pop-Pop passed away in 2009. Uncle Ron passed away in 2010. Auntie Karen in 2011. And I felt that heaviness, right? But then you realize God's with you. He never leaves us. He's right there for us. And I can use that pain to look towards changing how I interact with somebody else who's going through that, right? You can use the pain of the pandemic. You can use the pain of losing your job or whatever it is. It's a crisis. It hits you hard. I get it. And it doesn't mean you ignore it. You sit in it for a while and then you think about, okay, how do I use this to make a difference? So I think that's probably where I was coming from when I said that.
Well, what I love about what you were saying is that pain, if we allow it, we can treat it as a gift to do something better with it.
Absolutely.
And it's not, and I also like what you're saying too, it doesn't erase the pain. It's not minimizing the pain.
Right.
And it's not justifying any individual that may have caused the pain on the other side. But on the opposite side of pain, if we're willing to journey with it and walk through it, it presents an opportunity. Like, you, I mean, even as you were just talking, just going back to your story to as well as dental school, you've used pain points in your life to help you become more empathetic on the other side.
That's right.
And so I just love that. I love that reminder that for all of us, that challenge of your pain is not in void. It's not redundant.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it's the infamous Romans 8:28. All things work together for the glory of those who love the Lord. And, but it's the part where it says, for those who love the Lord.
According to his purpose.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's
so
right.
So the purpose is there to work for it, but are you, go all in with the Lord.
That's right.
And that's because as you're loving him, he's going to refill up your cup.
And he will. And it's hard when you're going through it. That's the hardest part. And I know some people have been in despair and wondering, you know, where is God in all this? And he's with us. He always has been, always will be. That's another anchor to draw on, right? So he's always there. And we're always going to have pain in this world because we live in a fallen world. So I'm thankful and grateful that God's kind of got us right, you know, right in the middle right now, not too high, not too low. And that when things happen, when things pop off, you know, again, we're going to feel it, react to it. But the prayer is, Lord, just bring me back, you know, to evenness. Because that's when we can hear what the next step is going to be.
Yeah. When you kind of think about everything we've talked about so far, what do you feel like is one of the things you're most proud of in your past?
Wow. One of the things I'm most proud of, just learning, you know, I talked a lot about my education and learning that bad grades don't define you, you know, and because I did, as I shared before, I felt like I was so low. I felt like I wasn't smart. I felt like I was unaccomplished. And once I realized that that wasn't the case, that I, going back to some of those things that I've always known growing up, Pop-Pop really pushed us, which in his way was unique, almost to the point of, you know, he had a good heart, but sometimes he wasn't sure how to direct that. You know, he was more the you better do X, Y, Z person. Nana was the more encouraging one, but together they were a great blend. And I just learned that they were both in my corner. So I just learned that no matter what happens, when you feel the worst, that you can overcome, that you're going to, it's going to be okay. So I think that mindset, it's that mindset that you decide that I'm not going to give in to that, that negative saying, that voice that's saying you're not good enough. I still struggle with that a little bit, to be honest with you, that you're not good enough. And that's a trigger for me. Getting better. But just learning little by little that it's okay. I would think that's probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Well, and what I also liked about what you said to kind of, you know, add to it is what you know, you said that your grades don't define you. Mm-hmm. I just think of it as like to anyone who's listening, I feel like people can connect with your past performances.
Yes.
You know, don't define you.
That's right.
And so I just love that. That's good, Mom. what are you currently learning about yourself right now in this season?
The biggest thing I've learned about myself in this season is I have learned what that phrase means, to have joy in the struggle, to have joy in the storm. Mm. You know, and we talk about that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the first time I heard that. I was like, you mean I'm supposed to be happy I'm in a storm? It's like, no, not exactly. But I've just realized that I'm so happy and so grateful and so content with where God has me at this stage in my life, where he has me and your dad mm-hmm. at this stage in our marriage. We just celebrated 37 years.
Hey, yo.
And that it's going to be okay. And I just know that deep in my spirit, in my craw, in my heart, that I am not stressing over the things I can't control. You know, I've also learned to turn the TV off.
That's a great practical step right there.
It really is. You know, I can't control that. Mm-hmm. But the messaging and whatnot, just knowing that that's where my source is, that's where my strength is. And it feels really good. Mm. You know, as you mentioned earlier today, we just happened to sit down. I'm on a staycation this week. Mm-hmm. Much needed.
Yep.
And it just feels good to kind of turn my brain off. You know, I'm thankful for my practice. I'm thankful for my team. But just to be able to just and relax.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where I am. I'm definitely at a contentment stage in my life. I know that there's more better things to come. And that I really do have joy, complete joy, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, Mom, I appreciate this. Before I let you go, I just want to do a few fun, random Q&A. Uh-oh. And Uh-oh. Some heart ones, some, okay. some heartfelt ones.
Okay.
So we'll start off pretty simple, okay?
Okay.
So the first one, favorite dessert.
Favorite dessert.
Or
Gosh.
One of. I know that's a hard one.
I know.
So we'll say one of your favorite desserts.
Gosh, there's so many. Well, you guys like my cheesecake.
But we do love the cheesecake.
If I had to order something, I don't know, a tres leches cake, I guess.
Okay.
Something different,
yeah.
right?
Okay, yeah. Very nice.
Yes.
When it comes to, I know you don't do it often, but when you drink soda, do you like it out of a bottle or out of a can, and why?
Oh, out of a can.
Okay, really?
I guess because I just grew up that way.
Okay, that makes sense. There's
yes.
something about the crack of the can.
Right.
Gotcha.
Hear that pop.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Gotcha. with another fun one. What's a fun guilty pleasure of yours?
Ice cream. I think I told you, you and Doobie and Kayla, I was like, oh, it's Friday. We're going to get some ice cream. That's my one cheat day. It's either on a Friday or Saturday.
Oh, man.
Deciding between a single scoop or a double scoop.
Right.
Right.
I shouldn't be surprised by that. I thought you were going to say like your soap operas.
Oh, well, I don't get to watch those as much anymore.
Fair enough.
But, you know, growing up, absolutely.
Yeah.
I told you that story, right?
Oh, yeah. You
Luke
literally
Laura,
would. You would.
I schedule my classes.
I was
going to
say, you schedule your classes.
Oh, yeah.
Them. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, back in the day, I was a huge General Hospital fan. And Luke and Laura were the bomb. And I had to take statistics, and it was either 8 a.m. or 2 p.m. Guess what time? Took it.
8 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
had to.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is before DVR and all those
That's
things.
That's right.
Oh, man. Okay. One of your favorite things about dad?
Oh, my gosh. Your dad has just got such a loving heart. You know, he's a people person. He always puts everybody first. And it's taken me a while to just sit in that, but that's who he is. And because Nana raised me that I can do everything, I'm like, I do it, you know, kind of like that little 2-year-old. But he's just always got such a big heart, puts others first, generally cares for people, loves connecting, starts at home. You know, that was part of our goal. When we met, we talked about that, right? So we wanted to make sure we did that with you guys, and he's just extended that. So he always has a big, big heart, and I just love that about him.
Same question, but about Kayla.
We were at, you know, some of you know we celebrate your sister's birthday yesterday, mm-hmm. and we were out miniature golfing, and our group was the Smiths and the Crosses, and your cousin Warren said, well, that's one thing we'll never miss about Kayla, and it was her laugh. You know, she's probably like 50 feet away. Yep. But I just love her spirit, you know, and especially over the years, she's become a lot more lighthearted, and she just likes having fun, and she likes bringing the family together. Yeah, she has such a heart for her friends, and just another loving spirit, but yeah. She likes to have a lot of fun. She and your dad used to play a little too much for me.
They did play a lot.
Oh my gosh, when you went off to college, I was like, ah!
Felt like it was two against one.
Yes.
I'll never forget that when I was on the phone with you. I think it was my sophomore. Yeah, it was my sophomore year because Caleb was still in high school.
Right.
And we were on the phone, and background all I hear is, Mom! Kim! Mom! Kim! And all I hear is you go, when are you coming home?
Yes. But that's who she is.
They're two peas in a pod.
They are two peas in a pod. But I think as she's grown, you know, gotten older, I can see she has a really soft spot for her family.
Yeah.
And I love that about her.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. Same question, but about Juby.
Juby is always thinking. She's always thinking about the next best thing. She's always like, you know, Mama B, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? She's an adventurer. She has an adventuring spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. Extremely supportive of you. When I first met Juby, I always thought that, she's just this tough exterior. Mm-hmm. And she says what's on her mind. Mm-hmm. And I think as she's growing as well, she's realizing where some of that comes from, which is great to share what's on your mind. And as we all know, it's all about how you say it. But Juby has like no fear. Mm-hmm. She just says what she wants to say. And she does it from a heart of love.
Yeah.
But God's just given her that spirit of, hey, we're going to do this. She's kind of your Don Quixote.
Yes.
We can do this. And sometimes she's very vocal about it, and other times she's a little more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love that spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I have two more questions. So second last one, what is one of your favorite memories?
You and I? Uh-huh. Our drive to Texas.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I knew you were going
to
say that.
When I helped drive you back to school that year, because Dad was supposed to take you, and I was like, when do I get a chance?
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. We took our time.
It was.
I think we stopped at Uncle Kyle's, and then we went I had it mapped out, so that was here to L.A., which was about 6 hours, and then we went to L.A. to Deming, New Mexico.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Which was
what
9
Deming?
Hours.
That's right.
Because Phoenix was 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, we're not going from L.A. to El Paso like you and Daddy did. I said, that's way too long. That's 12
we
hours.
Did.
And I'll never forget on our way, one of the places, it was pouring, storming. And you and I were like, we are driving into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And we had on one of your favorite Hillsong. Gosh, what was that? Remember you were listening to
I think it was Jeremy Camp.
Was it Jeremy Camp?
Yeah.
What was the song was?
Because it was I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? And it was so perfect. And it was like, wow.
Oh, Praise You in the Storm.
There we go.
Yeah, it was Jeremy
Camp.
And
we were literally driving into the storm. You could see it up ahead off of Highway 10. And that one time, you know how we would get off to get gas?
Yep.
And this one time we were in Texas, and we was like, oh, it's below a half a tank. It was almost a quarter tank.
Mm-hmm.
So we got off the exit. We couldn't see the gas station, but we saw the sign. Mm-hmm. We got off and went down. We literally pulled up to this gas station with the tumbleweed.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
You and I looked at each other like,
no.
We're getting out of here. I said, this is how horror movies
are written. It felt super sus.
Do you remember that?
Yep. It felt super sus. I was like, no, we'll,
please, we're
we'll
getting
get
out of here.
We'll get another exit or two.
And then we kept straight to try to figure out how to get back on the freeway. We couldn't, so we had to make a U-turn, get on the freeway going the opposite direction to get off to get back on.
Right.
And then we said, okay, moving forward, if we don't see it,
we're not getting off.
Because we were in Texas. And it's like, yeah, I don't know how progressive they've come in these tumbleweeds. But that was the best time. I think it was a 2.5-day trip.
Yep.
And we stopped at Fort Sam and saw Dr. Val and met Major... Hagrid.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And from there went on into Houston.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was my best memory of us.
Yeah. That was fun.
Like a 2.5-day trip.
I had a feeling she was like, you probably say the right trip. And last but not least, with just everything we've talked about today, or maybe didn't talk about today, what final words of encouragement would you want to share with our listeners?
I just want to share with our listeners that whatever it is, first of all, it's never too late to do something different. And it's okay that you're comfortable where you are, But I want to encourage you that maybe there's still some, there's definitely more to do, and it's never too late. It doesn't have to be a big change. It can be a small change, but just lean into whatever it is that you're, that still small voice that's kind of prodding at you to say, hey, what about XYZ? What if you tried this? It doesn't mean you have to totally leave your job. Maybe it's a hobby you start. But if you are thinking that you're stuck, especially in your job or where you are in life, you can just pivot, right? And if you're not sure what that is, talk to your closest friends and say, hey, I'm feeling like I'm stuck. What would you suggest? What are some things you've heard me talk about in the past, you know, to try to help me see what are some things I can do? It's never too late. I'm 59, loving it, turning 60 soon. Hopefully we're going to be partying in March of 2023. Yes. But, it's never too late, no matter what it is. So I just want to encourage people to realize that.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, my mom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mom, so much for this.
Thank you, honey. I'm glad we're able to do this.
Yes, absolutely. If you guys are loving this podcast, please do not forget to rate and review this. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on my website, markkbenton2.com. And also, you can leave me a voicemail. So if you have any questions or encouragement, but for real, the greatest gift you can give me is your feedback. Give me 5 stars, too, if you like it. And go ahead, screenshot this, post it on your Instagram. You can tag me at markkbenton2. I'd love to hear from you, whatever quote, something that stuck out for you guys. But I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Love, grace, and
peace out.
Hey, yo.